live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I've got two words for you today in four syllables. Chastity belt. I'm going to get to that this hour. Chastity belt. There's not enough chastity belt news in the headlines these days. We're going to cure that today. Chastity belt. We got a hiccup. We got a follow-up. Unbelievably, or perhaps not so unbelievably, it's the same. We've been awash in father-daughter sex this week. Can we just call it like it is? Can we just... We've been up to our eyeballs in... I'm just saying.
Like your mama did when I married her.
Oh. Dude, that was so over the line. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Even I wouldn't have said that. And I'm a horrible person. I'm, as several people told me after my fumbling at the top five yesterday, I'm a fat, ignorant bastard. So, and even I wouldn't have said that. Well, in any event. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. 3 minutes and 36 seconds after the hour of 12. This is the month of February in the year of our Lord, 2004. Thank you for coming along. Yes, we've got a follow-up on our favorite wacky, incestuous father-daughter couple. I think they were in Mobile or someplace like that. So they're in the news again for the second time in 1 week. You'll never guess what it's for. So that's coming up. We've got the Chastity Belt News, Jackson Watch this hour. We've got a late-breaking Geek Watch that somebody just handed to me that we're going to get here in just a short while. CNN radio correspondent James Roop will be joining us from Los Angeles. Unbelievably, we will continue to talk about Janet Jackson's boob. Doesn't it seem like it's been a month? Doesn't it seem like this is sort of the Janet Jackson boob time is sort of like dog years? It's just passing very... Very, very slowly.
Yeah, but they never get tired of it.
Yeah, no, so we're going to continue to flog that like a dead horse. So we'll be talking about the Grammy Awards coming up this Sunday, because apparently they've instituted some... I guess she's not going to be there or something, but he is. Timberlake's going to be there, but Jackson's not. They've got some new delay thing they've hooked up. Also, and this has got to be a misprint, the CNN prep sheet today claims that Ronald Reagan is still alive in 93, which I think we all know is impossible. I think we all know that guy's been stuffed like Trigger somewhere, and he's sitting in a corner. So we'll figure out what that's all about. Plus your phone calls and all that, plus Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian, coming up later on today. Jolie from the front desk, and the Jolie question today, this is actually more of a question for me, or, you know, for us, for the men. This is actually more of a question for us, but we'll get Jolie's thoughts on it as well. It's about a word that some of you guys know. It's not wingman. The word is deal breaker. So we're going to talk about that later on. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from your personal savior, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom, who now has his own weblog, incidentally accessible at rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic in Sarah Hillen. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster, yeah. And he's not having it, the radio gangster, yeah. And he's not having it, the radio gangster, yeah. I'm not having the radio. Gangsta. Yeah. I'm not having.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Doctors in the Dominican Republic can't start it. Antenna, we're up. Wow. They're going to remove the second head of the two-headed baby.
Excellent.
Current International President and CEO Dr. Scott Harrison says the surgeon is optimistic the operation will be completed at some point this afternoon.
They will be creating a series of flaps
on the top of the second head, exposing the blood supply and the second brain, and then sorting out the blood supply so that as they separate the two brains, there is a good remaining blood supply to the normal brain.
This is so great. All we're missing is Bela Lugosi cackling evilly in the background. Separating the two. Pull the string!
That's all we need.
It's not as complicated as it may seem.
They started the surgery. The neurosurgeon seemed to feel that with the information he currently had, that he was optimistic that the operation could be completed sometime this afternoon.
Sure, you can do it at home with a penknife, just like Radar in that episode where he does the tracheotomy in the Jeep using his Tom Mix knife and the ballpoint pen.
So what, do we drop off one teddy bear or two?
I don't know. And what happens to the...
What's protocol in this situation?
And here's the thing. What happens to the other brain? I mean, they don't just junk it, do they? It's a perfectly good brain.
They end up in a jar somewhere, I'd imagine.
You could give it to... Couldn't you take the kid's brain and give it to some dumb kid in St. John's that needs it? Isn't there some stupid kid somewhere in Kennewick that needs another brain that you can just... And what happens to the other head? And I mean this now in all seriousness. Okay, so they got the baby with the two heads, which I never get tired of saying. I mean, you know what it is? That's how you know that God is only sort of a semi-divine being. You know what I mean? Because even God occasionally, you know, it's like, it's as we were saying the other day, it's like getting the potato chip that's green. You know, it's like getting a rock in your chili occasionally. That's how you know that, you know that God is not batting 1,000 all the time. Because he's got a pretty good record, because there's only one two-headed baby for every 2.5 million births or something like that. But so God's kicking out kids constantly, and, you know, and it's at some moment, Mrs. God calls him to look at something on the television, or he's distracted by a telemarketing caller, comes back, damn, two-headed baby, crap. You know, but that's why he created doctors, so they can do it. But my question is this. So the doctors go in and like, well, I see your problem. It's this second head that's giving you all your difficulty. We'll just get rid of it. You know, and they just get out the bandsaw. Off comes the second head. Now, my question then is, what do they do with that? Because I know that typically, you know, you get a foot amputated, they just toss it in the incinerator. They got a whole little bag they put it in, and they just, you know, just burn that up. But clearly, you got a second head. That's a pretty rare opportunity. Those things don't just come down the pike every day. So do the doctors keep that? Is there some sort of a power struggle about where the head goes? Whatever happened to, you know, because back like in the, when did Dillinger get killed? The 40s? Yeah, and so, you know, you could go see Dillinger's death. My mom saw Bonnie and Clyde's death car, you know. You could go to the, you know, whatever happened to the freak show. You go and you just see stuff in a jar behind a curtain. You know, that's what they ought to do with that. Because otherwise, it's just going to sit in the lab and nobody's ever going to get to see it. All right, here's Tim Riley.
I would like the Oregon State Fair instead of having, like, the Birds play or something like that.
Well, then, yeah, instead of having Bachman Turner Overdrive come back. Seriously, you put two tents up. One is, you know, like Deep Purple playing again. And the other one is, you know, one is Seals and Crofts, and one is the second head off a two-headed baby. I'll guarantee you I know where 90% of the people are going to go. Because they don't have freak shows in America anymore, do they? I mean, that's a thing they don't. We've kind of phased those out, haven't we? The geeks that bite the heads off the chickens and so forth. See, that's a whole... I missed out on all of that. That's a whole segment of American culture that I never got to witness firsthand. You know, I never got to see the bearded lady and the giant guy and the rubber boy and the lobster-faced dude, and I never got to see any of that stuff. The closest you can get to any of that is, you know, you go to sort of like backwoods flea marketplace. Like, you go to that place in Seattle where they got the mummy. You can see that. But, you know, there's, you know, you never get to see the bendable dude and all that stuff.
Well, I wonder where this is heading. An investigation is underway into the U.S. intelligence failures in Iraq. Is that President Bush?
Now, as we move forward in our efforts to prevent the spread of weapons of mass destruction, we must stay ahead of constantly changing intelligence challenges. The stakes for our country cannot be higher.
Uh-huh.
And our standard of intelligence gathering and analysis must be equal to that of the challenge.
Here's the thing about George W. Bush, and I've really nailed it here. And this has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. This has nothing to do with where you fall on the political or social moral spectrum. This is simply something that we've all realized to be true. And again, it doesn't matter whether you agree with the Bush administration's policies or not. Here's something you know in your heart. As Darth says, search your feelings. You know it to be true. When George W. Bush speaks, you and I have both become aware, gradually, slowly, but now certainly, he has no idea what he's talking about. That's the thing. It's not that the policy is wrong. Maybe you think he's wrong. Maybe you think he's right. That's not the point. It's that when, you know what it is? You know, Spanish is a completely phonetic language.
You know, you give someone 30 minutes of learning how to pronounce various Spanish words like yende and all that. You know, you can 20 minutes, you can learn how to speak Spanish. Now, you won't know what the hell you're saying, but you put a Spanish sentence in front of me that I've never seen before, and I can pronounce it. I can speak it pretty accurately because Spanish is very easy to speak. It's a phonetic language. But I will have no goddamn idea what I'm talking about. Won't make any sense to me. I won't know whether it's right or not. I won't know whether I've been... You know what it is? You could hand me, you know, just a piece of paper in Spanish that, you know, the moon is made out of used Band-Aids that have been wadded up, you know, and I would read that in Spanish perfectly. I wouldn't know if it was true or not. That's what George Bush is doing. You know, he's reading things, he can sort of figure out the placement of the words and diphthongs and so forth, but he has no idea on God's green earth what he's talking about. None. Zero. And even the Republicans have figured that out, which is why they're so unnerved and why they keep trying to surround him with people who are intelligent.
John McCain will be on this panel. See,
well, I hope
Exhibit 1.
Find out what went wrong that led Dr. K to declare that, quote, most of us were wrong on the intelligence estimates on weapons of mass destruction leading up to the Iraqi conflict. But that means we also have to look at Iran, North Korea, and other areas where there have been misestimates as well.
It's the Greyhound stations.
The final report to the nation will be March of next year after the election. Meanwhile, historians agree that the media has always been used to whip the public into a frenzy on phony evidence to go to war. Take a long-forgotten one-term president named President Polk, who wanted a big chunk of Mexico.
President James K. Polk, who came in with a preset agenda. He was an expansionist president, and he wanted to acquire the land, which is present-day Southern California, New Mexico, Arizona. He offered to buy them from Mexico. Mexico said no. So Polk dispatched General Zachary Taylor to the Rio Grande River and said, give me a pretext for war. Get me some intelligence about the Mexicans coming over the border and disrupting towns in Texas. We've got to find a way to go to war.
And then the Spanish-American War was another war that really didn't have to happen. The battleship Maine, which was the prelude to this, the reason for going to war, actually wasn't attacked by Spain at all.
Well, the Maine got blown up on February 15th, 1898. And immediately the jingoist, imperialist, and President McKinley, the people that wanted war with Spain, seized upon this and said, look, Spain bombed this ship. They mined the harbor. They blew up the Maine. And that became the great rally cry, remember the Maine. In truth, as we know, in 1976, Admiral Hyman Rickover wrote the report, and we now know that the Maine was a boiler explosion, meaning it was not bombed by Spain. So we went to war with Spain under a false premise.
I knew this long ago. I heard about this like 10 years ago, and Paul Harvey's the rest of the story. He was way ahead of the curve on that.
Anyway, let's talk about this 40-year-old British woman who set off a metal detector at Athens Airport. The amused security guards found out it was caused by a chastity belt she was wearing. It happened a few days before Christmas. The metal detector goes off. After a further check, they find out she's wearing a chastity belt. The woman was allowed to fly onto London on the pilot's responsibility, according to the press report. The woman told police officers her husband had forced her to put on the belt to make sure she had no hanky-panky during a trip to Greece.
Oh, I thought it was like a... I thought it was kind of like a hot S&M thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, but it was like a full-on wear this every time you leave the house, woman.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was some sort of... Isn't it... Here's a weird thing. You know, Mark Twain once made the following observation. He said that work consists of what a body is obliged to do, but play consists of what a body is not obliged to do. That's why, you know, when you have to whitewash the fence, it sucks. But when, you know, Tom Sawyer tells you can't, then you want to do it because you don't have to. So it is with chastity belts and so forth. You know, because you go to, like, I'm not sure if Fantasy has these. But, you know, you go to here's a perfect example. You go to Fantasy Adult Video, which, you know, I mean, if you're into that sort of thing. Or who else? Who else? Doesn't somebody else? Don't we have Taboo? I don't know if Taboo sells that thing that electrocutes your urethra. But if they do... You really should go. No, I mean, it's...
Yeah, you really should go.
Hey, give it a try. I mean, I... No, I'm just saying, if somebody said, look, we're going to give you the... You know, you may feel a little twinge. Like, if you went to the dental office, and he said, now, I need you to spread... Well, that would probably be different, because you're at the dentist. But you know what I mean. If you're at the hospital, and he says, now, I need you to spread your legs, I'm going to send electrical current into your urethra. You know, and you would be like, well, no. I mean, I think you'd be strongly opposed to that. That would be something you wouldn't enjoy. Ah, but you know, you make it voluntary. You're like, you make it some, you know, you make it the guy who lives at your house with the hooded mask and the zipper. You know, if you tell that guy, you know, telling you that you have to do it, and suddenly it becomes sexy, right? It becomes a thing that you're into. How weird is that?
So what does a chastity belt look like?
I don't even know what I'm talking about. The chastity belt, it's like metal underwear.
But
wouldn't
a
Mormon wear that?
What?
Wouldn't a Mormon wear that?
Mormons actually, now many of you have mailed this to me and you've seen it over the years. People think it's a hoax, but it's real. There's this guide on the net, this Mormon guide to overcoming masturbation. I will answer your chastity belt question in just a second. But I will say that there's this thing on the net, this Mormon guide to overcoming masturbation. In extreme cases, they advise wearing a chastity belt. In fact, if you look up, did it ever occur to you that I just know all kinds of stuff that I shouldn't know? I mean, not just things that like are, you know, trivia or whatever, but there's just stuff that...
It's riveting.
There's just stuff that it's, I shouldn't know. It's just wrong. Okay, let's take these questions one at a time. First of all, A, you can go to the U.S. Patent Office. There are numerous anti-masturbation devices that have been patented over the years, many of them involving spiky things around your penis. Two, what was two?
Chastity belt. I don't know how you it go looks, to the bathroom and stuff.
Because
that.
It's got an opening. It's got the. It's like a metal. It is like metal. It's like a metal thong. That's exactly what it is. Picture like a metal G-string, but then it's got like a little. It's got like little slits, like an opening in the front and the back, but not enough that you can actually do anything fun while wearing it. You know what I'm talking about?
How do you open it with like a lever or a secret button or something?
No, it's got a key. It's got a key, and then the key usually belongs. It's just got a very narrow opening through which your bodily waste and whatnot can be. Look, don't look at me. I didn't invent the goddamn thing. I'm just telling you that's how a chastity belt works. It's best not to discuss how I know, but it's just a thing. But it's got a key, and usually then the key goes to the husband, you know. But it is one of those things that, you know, you see that every so often. You go to, like, some, you know, some porn store or whatever, and they got, like, they got chastity belts. You know, because it's like some weird dominant...
What if a woman called a locksmith?
I suppose.
Are they allowed to open those things?
Well, but she's, what, is she Muslim or something? I mean,
It didn't say.
Where is she from?
She's from Britain.
She's from Britain.
But, you know, she could be a British Muslim or...
Yeah,
British,
I mean...
Mormon.
I mean, I guess if your husband's putting it on you because it's some cool S&M power trip, then whatever gets you off, you know? But it's like, but if your husband's doing it because he really thinks you're going to be porked by some other guy, you know, that's your first key that you need to be getting a lawyer. You know, and extricating yourself from that relationship. I'm just saying. Yeah. All right. Well, it's taking us just record time to turn this into some sort of deviant freak show about biting the heads off chickens and chastity belts. Okay. You know, it makes me proud to know that the youth listen to this show, too. Many of our fine high school students now sitting in math class listening to me talk about masturbation and spiky things around your penis. Hey, we're going to come back with CNN radio correspondent Jim Rook and talk to us about the upcoming Grammy Awards and Ronald Reagan's alleged 93rd birthday. You stay there. We'll be back. It's 503-250 today in Portland. Here is Rose Tattoo. It's a Rick Emerson show. Don't go anywhere.
Live from Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right.
I'm just still perplexed with this chastity belt thing.
I can tell you. What do you need to know?
I just don't understand. Like, never mind. It's too gross to even talk about. But
no,
like slits. Like, what? That's downstairs. You know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't understand your question.
It just seems like...
You're talking about
those old Play-Doh things where you like had the cranky go push them through.
Well, I don't think they're as worried about kids. Just turn off the radio now. Look, here's the thing: you wear a chastity belt, again, it's like a metal G-string, to the best of my knowledge. I don't think they're necessarily as concerned about covering the your backside as they are your front side.
That's just so gross, though.
Well, don't. I didn't. It's not me. I didn't make
you know
the woman
a lot
wear
about
a chastity belt. There's things I know.
I know.
Let's never talk of it again.
Okay.
Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Accident reported blocking the right...
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later this hour, Jackson Watch and a Hick Watch. It's sort of a follow-up on a previous Hick Watch. We're getting to that later on. Also, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian and How Chicks Think coming up later as well. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. How are you, my friend?
Woo-hoo! We're good, we're good.
That's almost convincing. That's almost, it's almost enough to overcome the boredom that I can hear lurking just underneath as you get ready to cover yet another installment of the Grammy Awards. It seems like we were just doing this. But it seems
I know, and today, I mean, the brain trust of the Recording Academy lost some of the Grammy credentialing information. Their computer system or something got fouled up, so now I got all the way back to the Academy in Century City and pick up new credentials.
Excellent.
On a Friday during rush hour, for Christ's sake.
I thought you meant when they said they lost their credentials, I thought you just sort of meant like no one cared anymore, and they lost all the respect of the artistic community, and they lost all their integrity, which happened a long time ago for me. So anytime you make the Starland Vocal Band like the best new artist, that's, you know, it's a long road back from there. So, but they're doing, okay, so now are Janet and Justin performing this? I can't even believe that I care about this, but they're not.
No, well, Justin is, Janet's not. Janet claims, well, there's two stories that we're not really sure which one is true, but apparently, and this was several days ago, that Janet Jackson decided she was going to drop out of being a presenter at the Grammys because Luther Vandross, to whom she was supposed to present an award, is sick and can't be there, so she says, well, I'm not going to go. And this was after the Super Bowl fiasco, so
right.
To speak. And then we're hearing that CBS or the Grammys are going to uninvite her anyway. And so we're not really sure which story is true.
So the question is, I mean, maybe you don't even know the answer to this, but the question is, why is all the flak coming down on her and not Justin Timberlake?
Well, because she's the one that took full responsibility. She said, no one knew but me. And she rehearsed it with Timberlake, and she still claims that what was supposed to be left behind was that red lace undergarment after the wardrobe tearaway. And Justin says, you know, he was appalled, he was shocked, he didn't know what was going to happen, so she's taking all the heat.
So, I mean, well, that's kind of interesting because it indicates that she just sort of decorates her nipples with jewelry as like a course of daily affair then. You know, that's just sort of something special for Janet, you know, that she just kind of walks around with those things on. So, all right, well, is there anything? Yes?
I was going to say part of the school of thought there, too, is that if she dressed it up like that, then she wanted to show it off.
Yeah, well, I suppose. Is there anything else to care about at the Grammys on Sunday, or?
No, but the old guard is back. You know, Bob Dylan's up for a couple of awards. Joris Harrison, he's up for a couple of awards, believe it or not, for some stuff that went on last year, I guess. And Warren Zevon's up for awards. I mean, it's nice to see the old guys still floating around, you know, among all the strange music that's out there these days.
All the strange noise that the kids call rock. Doesn't you think we could streamline the process a little bit by, like, when somebody dies, just automatically give them the Grammy then? Warren Zevon, dead, Grammy. You know, George is dead, Grammy.
Give them the Lifetime Achievement Award and we'll never hear from them again.
Yeah, that way we don't have to worry because it's like we can tune in on Sunday and we all know that Warren Zevon and, you know, Harrison are going to win things because it's the big, not because they're not great, but I mean, it's just the big dead parade. So, hey, is it true that it's Reagan's 93rd birthday?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Although he doesn't know it.
Yeah, I don't mean to seem uncaring, but doesn't it seem impossible that he's still alive? I mean, it doesn't even seem like that could be true. You know,
are you
saying
that maybe he's not?
I'm just saying it's weird. I know a lot of healthy people that don't live to be 93, and Alzheimer's, affects your brain, but I mean, it also affects your general health because it doesn't discriminate. It goes through your brain and takes out a whole lot of. It's not just people think it's you can't find your car keys, but it's also things like your brain forgetting how to breathe and your brain forgetting exactly how to operate your kidneys and so forth. And I mean, it does seem a little. It just seems like he's beaten the odds more than a little if this guy's still alive and kicking at 93 with Alzheimer's. I mean, he always looked like he was about one day away from just being a pile of dust anyway. And so now
you're right. And I think it's, you know, we haven't seen him in several years, and everyone's very vague when you ask about his health. So he could be on all kinds of machinery for all we know, just sort of keeping his heart pumping. We have no idea what condition he's actually in, except for what we're told by publicists to say, for a man his age and suffering that disease, he's doing well. That's all we're ever told.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think he just might be stuffed and mounted somewhere already, and we just don't even know about it. I mean, you know what? Here's what it is. Maybe Nancy Reagan is just taking his internal organs one by one to keep herself alive, because she always looked really frail and dragon lady esque. So, and I don't know. It's just the strange world we're living in, Jim Rook.
I'm not going there, man.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you on Monday post Grammy Awards. There you go. There's Jim Rook in Los Angeles. Here's Tim Riley.
So then we have NSYNC-er Jason Chassé.
How do you pronounce this guy's name once and for all?
Kids.
Does anyone know?
Chassé.
No one knows. No one's listening. Okay.
We're just two words.
We're not ready yet here.
Talking to ourselves over here. All right.
Jason Chassé has been given the boot from this weekend's Pro Bowl to replace by wholesome hula dancers and Britney Spears' former backup singer Carly Dean to sing the national anthem. Now, two words in JC's schedule song, Panic the Suits in the Corner Office.
I had problems with two words, horny and naughty. And so I agreed, because they were in such a tight spot, which, you know, is really against an artist's integrity, but because I sympathize with the situation, I said, you know what, I'll pull the words out. I called my producer in the studio. He actually, you know, went into the background tracks and pulled out, you know, anything in the backgrounds that said anything like that. We pulled it out, agreed to change it, no problem, no harm, no foul. They were worried about what everybody was wearing, so we agreed to wear NFL clothing and.
And then, well, here's an intelligent question to be asked by CNN's Kira Phillips.
Well, should we leave out the words horny and hunk and talking about sex?
Well, here's the deal. You know, they're running advertisements between, you know, all of the, in the whole game, they're running ads for male performance enhancements. I don't know what to say, man. It's just a part of life. I mean, people, you know, music is an aphrodisiac to a certain extent. Yeah, sometimes things go too far, but I think that we're in a whole nother era. We're in the communication age. We're not in the dark ages. I think that, you know, you have to respect people's intelligence and things like that.
Well, and if you're going to have a whole 60-second commercial, which is all about giving you, what was that thing, the 36-hour erection or something? I mean, it does seem like it's a bit academic to sit and be worried about whether or not you can say the word horny. I mean, I like to hear Kira Phillips talk about that stuff and all.
What if Larry King said it?
Hey, let me ask it. Are you horny and hung? Or whatever what she was just saying there. It does seem really ill-advised that they continue to have Larry King continue to do these advertisements where he talks about feeling full of pep and vim and vigor, you know, which obviously couldn't be farther from the truth.
But the Pope must have been busy.
I mean, Larry King, I mean, he might as well have Jimmy Stewart, you know. Well, I'd feel I'm ready to take on the world. He sounds like he's 190 years old. Let me, on a completely separate issue, speaking of Kira Phillips and CNN, have you noticed that Miles O'Brien somehow became the science editor of CNN? Every time they talk about this big Mars catastrophe now, they go to Miles O'Brien and they've got the Chiron labeling him the science editor, which I think they must have just, I think that's one of those titles he just gave himself, like they were just passing a hat around about who got to be, and he just drew the straw for being the science editor. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, this plunged creative folks into a new dark age.
I think they're definitely compromising artists' creativity with all this going on. You know, everybody wants to work, let's be honest. And, you know, there's going to be artists that are going to go out there and they're going to do it anyway or whatever, what have you. But there's going to be so many people that are also fearful of doing anything. You know, a lot of people are scared to rock the boat and they're worried about, you know, what happens next.
JC has spoken to Justin Timberlake.
But you know what he did? Actually, I hadn't talked to him, you know, a couple of days because it's a hurricane around him right now. But he called me up yesterday and he just said, you know what? He goes, I just want to apologize to you. He goes, I in no way, shape, or form in my wildest dreams thought that this would ever affect you. And I said, me neither. I was at home watching it like everybody else.
Oh, and it turns out that the producers of ER did not edit out the shot of the 80-year-old woman's breast last night. Instead, they were blurred.
Yeah, lucky us.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Friday.
Okay, so putting anything that has to do with Eddie Jackson together in this. So let's start with Janet. Janet has filmed a series of Black History spots to help rehabilitate her image. She'll appear in a series of 10-minute spots talking about famous African-Americans, and that'll be on BET.
Josephine Baker.
Meanwhile, The fetish shop that sold Janet Jackson her Super Bowl outfit is furious over the flashing incident. Apparently, they're complaining that the $140, which would be $220 bustier was flimsy. And the manager of this fetish shop, Sam Hill, said, "There is no way it would have been ripped that way. We're known for putting together solid, long-lasting pieces. They took off the studs. They kept the cup in place and replaced them with snaps so the top would come off."
Have you ever gone to a fetish store and you see things there that are not only a little bizarre, but actually sort of make you fearful for the human race? Like, there's this place in San Diego called the Crypt, which is just, you know, it's just like this weird sex store. And so it's like I'm in there one day just kind of wandering around, and it's like, you know, whatever. You buy something to, you know, beat your, you know, partner over the head with, you know, whatever. I don't care. You know, something you to buy, you know, what's this? Well, you know, it electrifies the inside of someone's ass. Well, okay, whatever. You know, whatever you're going to be into. But I remember I was in there one night, and they had the weirdest... Like, these are things I think that only Richard Nunn really is qualified to talk about. But in his stead, I'll just sort of have to tell you. I mean, just like this weird, like, it was like a bad scuba diving suit or something. It was like this full-on, like black leather and latex bodysuit. Covered you head to toe, and then for the headpiece... There was this just gigantic latex, like, hood that went over your head, followed by, like, a gas mask that covered your face, and then the gas mask went to these oxygen tubes that strapped onto the side. Basically, it was like this complete weird sensory deprivation suit made out of leather and latex and rubber. It was completely unnerving. I mean, it really was the sort of thing, it's like, if you saw somebody wearing that just, like, prowling around your house at night, you would just die of a stroke. You would just have an embolism right there. And it was like, God, and it was like $3,500. I mean, you know, I don't know what has to happen to you in your childhood. I don't know exactly what sort of priest has to molest you that you find that, you know, that is sort of required for you to achieve sexual release in any way. It's just a really freaky society we're living in.
That a Tennessee woman is filing suit over the Super Bowl. Terry Carlin alleges she and others who were watching the halftime show were injured by the performer's lewd actions. In the lawsuit, Carlin charges that the exposure was sexually explicit conduct as a direct and proximate result of the broadcast of the act. Carlin and millions of others saw the acts and were caused to suffer outrage, anger, embarrassment, and serious injury. Carlin, who works at a bank, doesn't specify the type of injury she allegedly has.
What's her name?
Her name is Carlin, Terry Carlin.
Screw Terry Carlin. Screw Terry Carlin and her prude, hypocritical, puritanical, unfunny ass.
Last but not least, the recent Vanity Fair expose on Michael Jackson that accuses him of feeding wine to small children is one of Jackson's creepier exploits. In the late 1980s, Jackson became obsessed with the Swedish film My Life as a Dog, and some say it's 13-year-old star Anton Gonzalez. One source says how Jackson tracked the lad down to his hotel room when he was in L.A. for the 1987 Academy Awards. He sent the limo for the youth with him and his mother back to Neverland for a private tour. The next year, Jackson was in Sweden, where he rented an entire amusement park for an evening of fun and games with the boy and his family.
Okay, there you go. There's your Jackson Watch for Friday. We'll be back. We got more on the way, including a Hick Watch follow-up. You stay there. We'll be back.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I didn't even know that. Sam just pointed out that this movie that Jackson was obsessed with, The Kid, apparently it's a movie where the kid puts his penis in a bottle. These are all things I don't need to know.
What?
I just pass it along. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Rick Emerson. Only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You know the really weird thing about Jolie? Wait, let me refine the question. Otherwise, we'll be here for many, many days. Here's one of the recently weird things about Jolie. Is that for a long time... I mean, really, no one had ever expressed the desire to have hot rabbit monkey sex with Jolie until that one guy emailed like 3-4 days ago and said that he really hated her but wanted to do her all the same. And that just sort of like broke the logjam. And now I'm getting several a day. I'm getting several emails a day, like this one. Subject line, Jolie, I really need a picture. And then he says, I must see the object of my lust. Is there a picture somewhere to be seen? How about this one? Rick, there have been many references to Jolie's great cans, but when I look at the pictures on your website, I don't see any picture of her or of the cans. Could you please put some pictures of the cans on your site? I mean, after all, you still have pictures of Christina Carlson on there. I need a body to associate with the droning. Thanks, Neil. So there you go. So, Jolie coming up next hour with How Chicks Think. We're going to talk about the phrase deal breakers and what that means to, well, to men and to women, because I think it's different for both. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Time for the Hick One.
Yes, for Friday.
Copenhagen makes me feel skip. Copenhagen, the way I know it should.
Bum, 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 bum.
I put a chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen makes me feel secure on home.
This comes to us from Everything Alabama.
Is that a store?
Apparently
it's
so.
Just, no, I'm sorry, it's too easy. It's too easy. I'm not even going to ask what they sell at Everything Alabama.
Everything made or caught or slept with in Alabama. Carol Ferdinandson and his daughter Alice have been discovered together again at a motel despite a judge's order. The father and daughter created headlines last year after marrying each other in Mobile County. Arrested again this week after police got them together at the Saraland Motel. They voided the marriage in December and ordered Alice Ferdinandson, 30, and her father, Carol Ferdinandson, who's 53, to maintain separate residences after they pled guilty to incest. They were released from jail, and they checked into the Bamboo Motel for two nights.
The Bamboo, and I bet there's like that fake-ass leopard print jungle scene on the wall. Have you ever, let me ask you this, have you ever stayed at one of those hotels that has the theme rooms? You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, whatever, what's this theme? Jungle love theme. You know, and this theme is like, you know, rose petal, whatever, you know, massage theme. You know what I'm talking about? You've never done that? Where's the whole, oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's the worst. Man, it's a long time ago. I just did that girl. She's like, oh, I got, you know, we were going out of town for a while. That's when I was in Spokane. She's like, yeah, we're going to go out of town this weekend. You know, she's like, I got us a little place outside of town. We'll go there, hang out. Great week. I'm like, yeah, right on. We go there, and it's this terrible, tacky, like, it's one of those hotels that specializes in catering to people who've been married for 30 years who have no joy left in their relationship and they're trying to rekindle that faded, vanquished spark, you know? And so it's like, what's this room? And it's like, there'll be one room that's all, like, Victorian theme and one room that's all, but again, the one we were in was jungle theme. And so, like, the bed literally is made, it's like got, like, bamboo, you know, whatever on the bed, like the post or whatever, made out of, like, fake bamboo. And it's got this, like, it's got this terrible, tacky wallpaper that's supposed to look like an exotic jungle theme. And then the big selling point of the room is it's got, like, a hot tub in the room, right? It's got, like, a jacuzzi in the room. First of all, the jacuzzi's terrible, makes this horrible, rattling, vibrating noise. And it's like, it sounds like a washing machine. You turn on the, you know, the little jet vent, and it's all, and the whole thing is, like, moving back and forth like an idling Harley. But then the hot tub in the room has got this terrible gazebo over the top of it, around which is wrapped this fake green, like, vinery, you know? It's just the worst thing on earth. So that's what I picture when he said the Bamboo Inn.
Well, police and a tipster told them the couple was at the motel, so they sent two cops over. Lady opened the door, and there they were together. He had just given her a gift.
Oh, wow, you named a star after me?
The couple's battered white Toyota pickup was still parked in the motel. Long-stem red silk roses sat on the dashboard, and a large Bible rested on the front seat. Last May, the couple were arrested by Mobile County, a probate court. At that time, they were living in a rundown trailer in a town called Theodore.
Okay. There's your
You're also watch. Charged with cruelty to animals. We don't even want to do that.
Copenhagen makes me feel skip. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, sliding all around the house.
We'll be back.
Makes me feel so good.
How about you? It's the Rick Emerson Show. We've got more coming up, including Batch. What? No, I have no time now. Now we have been, I have insufficient time now. No, we'll go ahead and we'll do everything else next hour. We got Jolie coming up next hour with How Chicks Think from the front desk. We're going to talk about the deal breakers. Peter Carlin, TV critic, Nero Goni coming up. Oh, and somebody was kind enough to send me the entire Mormon Guide to Overcoming Masturbation. We'll share some of its more salient tips with you. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Attention, F8.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, 101. Tim Riley with you. It's brought to you by your friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company. On the western quarter of Highway 217 and Shoals Ferry Road, open Monday through Friday to late Saturday and Sunday till 5 or online at shaneco.com. The Bush administration is putting the final touches on its planned ban of ephedra. Officials are moving to get the herbal stimulant off store shelves by April. The supplement has been linked to more than 150 deaths, including that of Steve Batchelor, the Baltimore Oriole pitcher and Medford native. A prop of an M16 assault rifle caused a lot of problems yesterday in Salem. Cops converged on the bank after getting a 911 call. Cops are there in moments, guns drawn, hustling people away, closing down streets. It turned out the armed man was actually an employee of a video company. Good news from Pendleton residents. The U.S. Postal Service will stay in Pendleton. They threaten to move all their business north into Washington, but they won't. Windy and rainy today. Showers tonight, possibly sunshine by Sunday. Tim Riley, KOTK News.